In recent years, Bill Gates has been working just as hard at giving away his millions of dollars as he once worked on building the Microsoft computer empire that made him, of course, the richest man in the world at one time. His foundation has spent billions of dollars on malaria, infant vaccination and AIDS research, and he's now been talking about agriculture. At a time of soaring commodity prices and what seems to be a hungrier world for many, Mr. Gates wants Africa's small-scale and subsistent farmers to feed the poor. He doesn't lack for ambition, does Mr. Gates? He's been explaining his agricultural work to me and to some African farmers.
Farming is our second biggest program after our health work, and we're very excited about what can happen when you help farmers be more productive. Not only do they grow enough to feed themselves and their kids, to improve nutrition so those kids can develop their full potential, but you'll also give them cash income so they can send those kids to school, and the price of food can come down, which that's not only a challenge for the rural poor, but also for the urban poor and the world as a whole.
We've been out and we've spoken to a couple of farmers in Africa who are facing some of these difficulties. Dyson in Ghana and Elizabeth in Kenya. Just listen for a minute, if you would. They're going to explain some of the challenges that they face, and I'm then going to ask you what practically your foundation can do or will be hoping to do to help these people.
My name is Dyson Adibu-Plampu. I'm a commercial farmer in town, a rural area called Somanya in the eastern region. As for the subsistence farmers, they only depend on the rain. They use outmoded form of cultivation. Some of them they call it a slash and burn. They don't even tend the soil. When it's the rainy season, they just slash the bush, burn it, and then plant the corn inside it.
My name's Elizabeth Oedera. I have been farming for the last 3 years, but I engaged in serious farming the last 2.5 years. There are so many problems and challenges that I'm facing as a farmer in Kenya. The main one being the roads. There's a lot of problems in our infrastructure because where our farming and farms are getting there, the roads are very tidy, especially when it rains.
Well, that's Elizabeth in Kenya, and before that, Dyson in Ghana. Bill Gates, what would your foundation like to do? For example, Dyson mentioned the problem outmoded cultivation, kind of like a mindset that is out of date, slash and burn, not investing for the future. What practically do you do at ground level to change those habits?
Yeah, slash and burn is a bad approach because the land that you make available only stays productive for a very small number of seasons. And so what you want to do is take the land that is appropriate for farming and get the productivity up. And so African farmers have not been given the tools, for example, being able to buy fertilizer at the right time. And so absolutely one of the key measures as we get productivity up is to see this slash and burn approach be far, far less common.
How actually practically does that work on the ground? What will you be doing?
Well, we do a lot of things. We do the new seeds that are more productive. We do a soil survey in the area to see what nutrients are missing and you know, show them are they using the right areas to do their agriculture on. Then we work with these dealers to help them have money to get the right seeds, to get the fertilizer. A farmer has their income at the end of the season, and yet they've got to invest at the start of the season. And so we work with finance groups to make sure that there's money available. We put up the riskiest capital, and so more profit-minded people can come in and put up additional capital.
Let me ask something that you've mentioned a couple of times about the importance of seeds. That was something that our Kenyan farmer, Elizabeth, had to say. I'm going to ask you about seeds in a minute, but this is how the problem, as it were, with seeds strikes Elizabeth as a farmer.
When we buy seeds from where we get from the agro shops, we get counterfeit seeds, which give us low yields. Sometimes we have even not enough knowledge of the seeds, how to do, how to plant. Sometimes you'll find you use the seed there in your way of understanding, but there is other technical information that we don't have. We also have problems with countering the diseases of the crops. We don't know how to, good information and background of how to use the pesticides, the way diseases come and attack the crop. Sometimes you have not enough knowledge of knowing how to use the insecticides, whether it's a fungicide, whether it's a insecticide to use. So you find you mix chemicals and it affects our yields and the crops.
a whole sort of cluster of problems there. Just to pick them apart, I mean, funds is obviously one, Mr. Gates, but also the education about what to do, how not to get ripped off by the middleman. Give us an idea, again, on the ground, what do your people do to try to get round those problems that Elizabeth was outlining?
Her key point is that farmers need more information, and there's some fairly exciting innovations there. We're using radio quite a bit to get good information out. We're also using an approach where we go and interview the farmers themselves, and by taking, with very cheap equipment, a video of a local farmer who's doing something the right way, and then sharing that video with the other farmers, they get a real sense of, okay, I can relate to that. You know, it's in my local dialect. That person has soil and challenges like mine. And, you know, he showed me if I don't use fertilizer, the plants look like this, or if I have a certain disease, the plants look like that, and how that person was able to avoid it. So empowering farmers with information was a key tactic in all countries. And by using these innovative tools and a lot of peer-type information, we think we can improve that quite rapidly.
When you talk about the problems facing farmers, do you have a farmer in mind, someone that you met, someone that you've been down in the soil with, and you're thinking, actually, this is the kind of person that I'd like to help. This is the person that I admire and want my philanthropy to do something for.
Yeah, it's always great to go out in the field and, you know, meet with farmers and talk to them. I was with a lot of women farmers, and, that's one of those things that's different than you might think at first, is farming is mostly women's work, and in these poor countries. Anyway, I was with a number who had rice that would get flooded because they, you know, can't afford irrigation, and it's just rain-fed rice growing, and they would often have the rice underwater long enough that it would die. And a new variety that our foundation and others created actually can withstand that flooding, and so it's called stress-tolerant rice. And they talked about how they just recently switched to use that, and now they had confidence that they'd bring their rice crop in. And in fact, not only was it the stress tolerant, it was also higher yielding.
I'm very interested. You used the phrase, you've created a strain of rice. Is this something, the kind of the GM approach, is it something that's actually suitable for the kind of farmers that you're trying to help? Or is it maybe, as some people have said, critically have said, it's an idea of a Western solution for problems that aren't necessarily the problems of the developing world?
Well, there's no doubt that the developing world needs agricultural productivity even more than the rich world.
But aren't there other ways of doing that? You don't necessarily have to go down the way that the rich world does its agriculture, because that is, for example, oil-intensive. To give one example, it's not sustainable and so on. Does GM help in that way?
Well, in GM and oil-intensive, there's no connection there at all. The particular rice I was talking about was done through conventional breeding, but actually using advanced science to look at the new rice to make sure that we were taking the good characteristics of one strain and the good characteristics of another strain and only getting those good characteristics. So the speed that it's done uses genetic examination. But it's normal crossbreeding. There are some of the projects we work on do involve genetic modification, because you often have traits like dealing with high temperature that you can't get anywhere else. And unfortunately, these poor farmers are going to be facing warmer climates, not due to any fault of their own, but because of global warming. And so whatever tools we can use that are safe and affordable for them, I think it's appropriate that we employ. And I absolutely think in some of those cases, genetic modification will be how we get them the new seeds, although most of the work we've done so far doesn't involve that particular approach.
Bill Gates working as hard, he says, to give it away as he worked in the first place to make it. This is The World Today from the BBC World Service. Stand by, quick bulletin of news coming up next.